Hello, everyone. Welcome to She's an Outlander podcast. My name is Stacy.
And I'm Brittany. Hello, folks.
Hello. And this is our second episode. So if you're listening, thank you so much. If you listened to episode one, thank you.
Decided to come back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Us just being fools. So, you know, thank you for coming on this journey with us. So yeah, we're gonna focus on episode two today, and I'm gonna break it down for Brittany. You know, and if you hear a little bit of background noise, we apologize.
We're doing our best here.
Someone in Brittany's home is watching a movie or something, so you do what you can.
There's some Pirates of the Caribbean going on around here.
Hey, and also a nice rainstorm has just started outside, so
yeah, it's downpouring.
We don't really know what that's gonna bring, but
although it's like very atmospheric for this Highland Scottish journey into the moors.
So true.
I don't know if there's moors, but I think, isn't it Scotland have moors? It sounds like they're rainy.
Yeah. Oh,
I feel like it's rainy, right?
Scotland? Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay. Lots of rain all the time. Already episode one, there was downpour of rain.
Oh, yeah. The ghost was standing in the rain. That's right. Okay. See? So now we're in the rain. It's all coming together. The theme is, it's all here. We're
exactly.
Right in it.
Exactly. And so before we dive into this episode, once again, the whole, if you're just kind of jumping in on this episode, the whole concept is, so me, Stacy, I am a big Outlander fan, obsessed with the show. Brittany over here. Not so much. She has watched the first season, like, 5 to 6 years ago when it was on TV.
Yes. Yeah.
But just watched it the one time, never continued. And interestingly, you don't really remember much at all.
No, I have very, very faint, very little memory of it.
Yeah.
So really nothing stuck. So
yeah. Oh, great.
Just nothing.
So it's raining very hard. So it'll be interesting to see as we continue to go episode by episode, like if your memories start to come back about certain things or not. I'm enjoying your reactions. I hope other people do. They're quite fun.
Someone can enjoy me. So that's good.
Exactly. And so before we dive in, I mentioned this to you the other day, Britt. I just feel the need to say this because I'm so annoyed with myself that as I was listening back to the first episode, I realized at one point when I was referring to Sam and Kat, I said Sam and Kate. And I'm
you did say that.
I'm so mad because I know her name is Kat. I know her name is Katrina. But for whatever reason, does anybody else's brain do this? When you see her name in short form, it's C-A-I-T because of the way Katrina spells her name. It's spelled C-A-I-T-R-I-O-N-A. Irish.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
But for whatever reason, every time I see Sam and Kat, like even if I'm like online and I see it, my brain automatically reads it as Kate because it's C-A-I-T.
For like Caitlin?
Short form for like Caitlin or something. I don't know why. I'm so annoyed because
is that what upset you? I mean, you also called Frank Flank, so I mean
that came out at one point. Words are hard sometimes.
English good, is that what it is?
I try. Words are hard. But anyway, I just felt like clearing that up because
you're not a true fan. You called her Kate or Kat. What are we supposed to call her?
Kat.
Okay.
Katrina. I was so annoyed though. I was like, oh, when I heard it. Cause I'm like, well, it is what it is.
You're a fake fan.
Right. I know. I'm so ashamed. Anyway. Okay. So let's dive in to this episode. So this episode, episode 102 is titled Castle Leok. Written once again by Ronald D. Moore and directed once again by John Dahl. So because the way they do that, they film the show, they do something called block shooting a lot, which means they might film in like three or four episode chunks. instead of going like episode one and then episode two and then three.
Like changing.
Film it, they'll film it in truck. So you might have the same director doing like two episodes or something. And right. And it just makes it easier because so you might be filming stuff from, you know, episode two one morning and then episode one in the afternoon. And then, you know, so it's kind of not all in there just to make things easier based on location, based on all that kind of stuff. Anyway.
You know what I only found out this year is that Lord of the Rings 1, 2, and 3 were all filmed together. I didn't know that. I did not know that. Nope. Had no idea. I figured that out like 2 months ago.
Interesting.
Yeah, Brittany. I didn't know they were all filmed at the same time, like just as one big bunch. Clearly, didn't know that.
Clearly, me and you had never had conversations about Lord of the Rings because when I was like, what, 13? I feel like I knew that, but that's because what do? Watch all the special features, watch all the behind the scenes commentary.
I watch none of those.
But yes.
I don't even think I know who directed that, but.
Oh, Brittany, really?
Yeah, no. Is it?
Let's see. Can she do it?
I want to say Peter Jackson, but I feel like that's
you're right.
Oh, I thought that was, isn't there a book that's like about Greek gods and it's Peter Jackson?
No, it's Percy Jackson.
Percy Jackson.
Oh, Brittany. Percy Jackson, the lightning. Oh, okay. That movie with Logan Lerman. No, Peter Jackson is the director. Oh, he directed The Lord of the Rings and also The Hobbit series.
I did not ever see The Hobbit.
It's okay. Okay, all right.
I tried reading The Hobbit, and I got like 10 pages in, and I was like, I don't understand why we care about doors so much. We kept talking about the round doors for like 10 pages, and I was like, oh, good God. And then I had to give up on it.
You're like, I cannot. Okay, so, all right, so Castleyx. So if we remember how the last episode ended, you know, Claire had a rough couple days back in time. And they had arrived. They were just arriving at Castle.
The red coats were after them, right?
Well, yeah.
Well, like, they ran from them in the ambush, right?
There was that ambush and yes. So,
okay.
You know, and the Highlanders don't particularly like the English. So fair enough. And so they're just arriving at Leok, right? So this is how this episode starts. Like they've just kind of got in. They're all like, you can tell they're all just like dirty and cold and like wet and just tired. They've been like
just miserable
for the past couple days. And one thing I noticed, this is probably my fourth or fifth time watching this episode, and I'm like, Murta helped Claire off the horse. Cute. So, you know, Murta helps Claire off the horse.
Oh, Murta's the nice one, right? Who's the one that threatened to cut her throat?
That's Dougal.
Okay, yeah, Dougal. Got it.
So they all get there, right? And they're all just like tired. And this is the first time, if you kind of look in the background, we see Jamie's kind of like infamous horse dismount. And I know that I know that sounds ridiculous. But
off of a horse?
Yes. He does this thing where when he gets off of the horse, like most people, like if I've ridden a horse maybe two times in my life, but I would probably swing my foot behind me and then get off. Jamie does this thing where he kicks his leg in front, like he leans back a little bit and kicks his leg in front of him over the horse's head and like swings
off.
Does
he swat the horse in the head?
No. No, because he's got apparently some flexibility and good leg muscles where he just like, over the horse's head, he leans back just a little bit and just, you know, and then when he
scissor
does it,
kicks?
Just like, it's like, quite, whoosh-um. It's more impressive than when I'm describing it, but especially.
I don't know, you're doing an excellent job. I got a good visualization right? in my head right now.
And then especially when you think of like, a lot of times he's like in a kilt and he's just like, swinging and slide right off. Looks super graceful for like a big 6 foot something dude. You're like, all right, that was surprisingly graceful. Okay.
But what does he do with his other leg though? Does it like twist? Like how does he
No, because he always does it. So say he'll have like his left leg in the stirrup and he'll swing his right leg over towards his left leg and like
and then he's like sitting pretty
off.
And then he just jumps
no,
off.
No, he just kind of hops off. Like it's all in one motion. He doesn't sit side saddle for half a second. He just like,
oh, okay. I was picturing he like sat all nice and then he just like popped off.
No, he just, it's like an all swing motion, just like pops right off.
I love if one time he just like,
I always, part of me wonders if there is a blooper out there of Sam just like
falling off a horse.
Of Sam Heughan just eating it, just like messing up that dismount.
Now, is this the actor, or does the book say that he's all flexible in the legs?
I don't remember the book saying anything, so I don't know.
Okay, so this isn't like an actual like James thing. This is the actor can just do this.
I don't know if he just
scissor kicks his horse. Okay, got it.
But I've watched it. He's never kicked the horse in the head. He always has like a couple inches over the horse's head. So I'm like, well, because I know I couldn't do that.
anyway. What if the horse just like reared up its head and it just like
hit his foot. Just be like awful. But anyway, and now that we just spent 10 minutes talking about how Jamie dismounts off of a horse. So anyway, so we see him get off. And again, Claire has a voiceover, right? Where she's now starting to think like, okay, she's kind of taking in the scenery. There's like some, they're kind of in like the front kind of courtyard of the castle. So there's some people there like whittling baskets and sitting there or whatever. And she's
very
kind
medieval.
A little bit, but I don't, I can't remember the century that was, but I think we're later in time, but
okay. Medieval's like plague. I think that's like the 1200s.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We're in the 1700s.
A few years since history.
But yeah, so she's kind of realizing like, if I am going to get out of here at all, I kind of need to convince these people to help me. So she's like thinking, okay, how can I do this? And then, you know, so they're all getting off their horse. Is there a lot of lightning going on near you? Your
you
face.
Hear the thunder?
No, I don't.
Okay, good. I was like, it's so loud. I'm like,
I don't hear anything. Up?
Okay, that's good. Sorry, I interrupted. I just got distracted by thunder lightning. I'm like a dog. I'm like, oh my God.
What's happening? So
she needs assistance.
She's like, okay.
I feel like she should be finding the witches. I think she's got this wrong. Find the witches, woman.
That could be a very dangerous endeavor in the 1700s. I'm just
going to that is true. If you just start going around asking, do you know any witches? I need to find the witches.
Throw that out there. So they've arrived and they're all tired and they've got to get the horses away. And this is a character enters by the name of Old Alec. And he's kind of like the horse master, and he's arriving and he's helping them to like, you know, put the horses in the stables. And he kind of goes at Rupert, who Rupert is one of the Band of Merry Men that we will get to know a little bit more. Okay. You know, you'll kind of, I had a love hate relationship with him. He grows on you. But he was the one that made a slight rape innuendo at the very beginning.
So you're
okay. Rupert, but he is, you know, a little bit, not big, but you know, got a belly and a bit bigger or whatever. And so Old Alec comes over and he's like,
he's got a dad bod.
I wrote this down because I found it so funny. He's like, Rupert, you great fat fart. What have you done to my Peggy? So the name of the horse, basically being like this, did you look at her hooves? Like, he's like, and Rupert's like not hearing it. He's like, leave me alone, man. And then Angus, one of the other dudes, is like, it's like a cow riding a mouse, like, so just making fun of poor Rupert and his weight.
Oh, fat shaming in the 1700s,
you know, exactly.
Body and positivity, then, friends, body you know, he'd right, be proud of that dad bod.
And then Claire kind of looks up into one of the castle windows and she sees this man with kind of like long gray hair standing, staring out, looking, and she's like, who's that? He might be important. And then we have this character, this woman, enter, this like older, she's like older woman with like gray hair, comes out, and she's just like a ball of energy. And this is Mrs. Fitzgibbons that we get introduced to. And she's coming out saying hello to all of them, being like, oh, you smell terrible. Da da da. Makes some sort of joke to Murta about like, you smell like a cow that's been, I don't know, rolled in sheep dung or something. And Murta's like, give me a kiss then. And like hugs her and she does like, oh no. And like laughs. So, and then she kind of comes out and be like,
so
oh,
she's like the flirty, like housekeeper.
She's kind of, well, like
mother hen that flirts with everyone,
but like not that type of flirting. Like,
oh,
like she's like the, I don't want to say grandma, but she's like,
okay.
So the like, mother hen, like, joking that's all with like, them.
Okay.
I nurturing. And she runs, mans the kitchen and all that kind of stuff. Right. And she's like, you know, I'm sure you're all going to be hungry. There's some breakfast, get in with you. There's some food in there. I'm sure you're hungry, all that kind of stuff. And then Claire this whole time is just kind of staring around, taking everything in, looking so stiff upper lip about it. Like, just, you know, like, what is happening? She's in this like ripped looking white shift dress thing. And then Mrs. Fitzgibbons takes a look at her and is kind of looking at her, and she gets like a kind of steely look on her face, kind of being like, huh, so who's this? Right. And then she kind of stares at her, and then this is where Jamie introduces them and says like, Oh, Mrs. Fitz, this is Claire, Mistress Beecham. Claire Beecham, we encountered her on the road, and Dougal said she has to come with us. And they're like,
stole her. No big
deal. They're like, yeah, right.
And then this woman, she's here now.
Exactly. And then Mrs. Fitz is like, okay, all right. So then she looks at her and she's like, okay, well, let's take you inside. I'm sure you're cold and hungry, and let's get you something. She goes, let's get you something to wear that's a bit more. And then she's kind of leaving Claire away, and Claire's like, wait, what about him? He's hurt. And he's like, what are you talking about? And Jamie's like, I'm fine. What are you talking about? He's like, no. She's like, no, he's not. He got shot. So Mrs. Fitz is like,
tattletale.
So Mrs. Fitz is like, oh, really? And then she's like, you know, I have to make sure his wound doesn't get infected. And she's like, infected? And she's like, that it doesn't get dirt and fevered or something like that. And she's like, oh, okay, I know what you mean. And then Mrs. Fitz is like, are you a charmer then? And she's like, something like that. She's like, you mean you know what to do about it? She's like, yep. She's like, all right, follow me, Jamie, the lady says you need tending, let's go. So she brings them like both inside, and then we get to
I have to say this is one goal of mine. I want to become old enough that I could just boss everyone around, and they just always listen to me, because I'm just like the old, not like old in a bad way, but like just like that wizened lady that can just take care and just like everyone listens to you. That's the goal of my life.
Just like, be just like, listen to my words.
Listen, I said sit down and eat, and you're going to sit down and eat. Exactly. You just like feed people all the time. It's like such an awesome goal. Okay, sorry, go back.
No, but so now they're walking through the castle, and Claire's having like flashes of like, oh my God, I walked through these like castle hallways yeah. with Frank. Wait,
didn't they do like weird stuff in there?
in one of the rooms. Yes, they did. And yeah, so they, you know, she brings them to the room, and they're sitting by a fire, and they're making like concoctions of like garlic and witch hazel for boiling the rags and this and that, so that she can kind of like dress his wound and all that kind of stuff. And this is where, you know, when she goes to leave, Claire's like, thank you, Mrs. Fitzgibbons. And she turns and goes, folk around here call me Mrs. Fitz. You may also. She's like, thank you, Mrs. Fitz. And then Jamie's like sitting on a stool by the fire, shirtless, looking pretty good. And, you know, and he's got his like one shoulder like kind of slinged up, and he's got like a blanket kind of covering his shoulders and his back. And so Claire's kind of like, you know, boiling some rags and all this kind of stuff to dress the wound. And then she goes to take the blanket off so she can see. I think she catches like the top bit of scars on his back and removes the blanket. And you can tell on his face, and like, you know, I love this like brutal, subtle, this beautiful, like subtle acting by Sam. Cause it's like, he's like, you can tell he's like not comfortable with it, but he's like gonna let her do it. Just because then now she can see the whole, all these scars on his back, like his whole back is covered in scars. And she's kind of like, doesn't really say anything. And then this is when he mentions like, okay, yeah, like it was the red coats. And he mentions how he got flogged twice in the span of a week. And he's like, and he said something like, they would have done it twice in one day, except they thought it would kill me. And there's no joy in flogging a dead man. And,
well, that's dark.
And yes. Morbid.
Jesus.
And then he says something about like, you know, and Randall enjoyed himself, and Claire like drops the rag when she hears the name Randall, and is like, oh, silly me. So we know, okay, it was Randall that
So we don't like him. Oh, great.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, we already didn't, but now we really don't.
So you're like, damn, okay. And then this is where Claire's kind of like, okay, why did you get flogged? And he goes, oh, well, the first time was for escaping Fort William and the second time was theft. And, and she's like.
So he's a criminal.
Well, and she's like, why were you escaping in the first place? Like, what was the initial charge that made you go in there? And he was like, obstruction. Near 4 years ago, he's like, I think that's what the charge sheet read, or you know, whatever the English want to say it is. Basically, like, whatever the English want to say you're charged with. And she's like, oh, that doesn't seem like that bad of a charge. Like, what the heck? And he's like, well, it's kind of up to the English. And then this is where we get a flashback. He says, oh, this was about almost 4 years ago. So we get like a little bit of a flashback.
How old are these people that we're talking about here?
Jamie is supposed to be like early 20s. He's okay. Like probably like 23-ish. Claire is supposed to be a few years older than him.
Okay.
And we find out her exact age a little bit later in the series, but
got it. Okay.
In the books, it's mentioned a lot about when she looks at him of like that she realizes how young he actually is. Like he's like 22, 23. What was that face?
I don't know how I feel about that.
What, that he's, what, 22, 23?
No, I don't know. That was a weird, I don't know. Okay, keep going.
Okay.
Okay.
She's not like supposed to be like 39. Like she's supposed she's supposed to be mid to late 20s.
Okay.
So right. she's probably 4 to 5 years older than him.
Okay.
Not crazy, but I mean, back in that, she's an old spinster by 1743 standards.
That is true.
But yeah, so he's like 22, 23. But so he says, okay, basically this happened 4 years ago. So when he would have been like 18, 19. And he talks about how, you know, that the Redcoats had put a levy on all the landholders. And so they were going around to collect food and horses and transportation, and his father was away at a funeral, so he was there manning their estate. And it shows, you know, Jamie's out, you know
what do you call shoveling hay, what is that?
so we see him
pitching hay.
And then he starts to hear like a scream, and he starts to hear like screaming, and he turns around and he's like, what the heck? And he starts to run, and he's calling for Jenny, who's his sister. And he gets to kind of the front of their home, and there's a bunch of red coats like manhandling his sister. And he's like, basically like, get away. And he like charges in and takes like three of them on, and he's like fighting them all on him by himself. And he's like, Jenny, run, get out of here. And so she goes to run upstairs, and then he's like knocking them down. And then all of a sudden, who appears out of freaking nowhere is Randall, holding his sister at gunpoint, right? Ugh. Being like, basically back away. Right. And so then it kind of flashes to now he's kind of tied up and being whipped.
So, ooh, there's another point.
So this is like kind of almost like with like a riding crop. So it's not like a huge flogging like Cat of Nine Tails, but it's like a riding crop, and he's being like whipped with it, and he's got his arms tied in the archway, and then they're making his sister stand there. But it's not. Poor Jamie. I mean, oh boy, we'll get there later. These episodes are going to be so long. I'm sorry, everyone. I just hope you love our journey. But yeah, so, you know, his sister Jenny is like being kind of held and like forced to watch. And so Blackjack is, you know, sweating, but you can tell he's like enjoying it. He's like, and then he like stops for a minute and is like, whew, this is hard work. And he goes over, like takes a sip of water, and then basically looks at Jenny and is like, I'm losing my train of thought. But he looks and basically Jamie's like, let my sister be. Oh, I missed this. So this happened before he got tied up. So he's holding her at gunpoint, and Jamie's like, let my sister be. And this is where Blackjack, and like props to Tobias Menzies, because like he is a really good actor, and like he just makes this character so, there's so many layers of his like deviousness and like effed upness of like, because he sees like, oh, sister, and he gets this like glint in his eye and he's like, sister, well, that's interesting. And then he goes like, well, she is Bonnie. Now, why don't you take a closer look? And he like rips the front of her dress so that her like boobs are out.
Ew.
Because Blackjack is twisted.
And ew.
And James,
I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's, yeah, try watching it. You're like, oh no. And he's like struggling. He's like, no, no, no. And he's like fighting, struggling. And he puts his head down because he obviously doesn't want to stare at his sister's boobs. And they're like, and he's basically like force his head up and makes the men like,
what?
Force his head up to look at her. Right. And then, but he basically like, he forces him to look. And,
that's
and
weird.
So that's really, really gross too. Yes.
I need exactly. an adult.
Exactly. And so he basically is like, and then this is Jamie saying like, this is him saying, this is what you get for fighting back. You try to fight back against the English. Like, this is what you're going to get. And what's really interesting to note about that scene is, so the actress that plays Jenny, who is Jamie's sister, her name's Laura Donnelly. And apparently her and Sam, like, have, are old friends, like, went to drama school together and everything and are, like, really, really close. And so, like, part of me wonders, like, how weird was that scene where they're, like, stare at her boobs? Like,
Yeah, I feel like there's so many scenes in, like, TVs and shows and stuff where I'm, like, I don't, that's a, there must be weird conversations going on.
Acting is a weird job sometimes.
Yeah.
And we'll there's
like,
lots
okay,
of that.
You're going to
we'll
be like held and then you're going to have to stare at your sister's boobs and feel really uncomfortable. That's a weird direction to take.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
That's a weird job.
Exactly. But yeah, so he's whipping and all that kind of stuff. And then that's when he stops and drinks some water and all that kind of stuff. And then this is where he stops and goes to Jenny and says like, you know, do you want to see more of this or do you want to go upstairs with me and offer me some better entertainment?
Ew.
Yep. Yep. And Jamie, how do we think Jamie feels about that?
I would hope he's not very happy.
No, Jamie does
I
not like
nobody
this
is happy.
Jamie is not happy with this at all. And he's like, he basically is like, don't go with him. Even if he slits my throat before your very eyes, he's very much like, let him kill me. Don't go with him. And then Blackjack kind of looks at him and just takes kind of the knob of his knife or sword or whatever and just knocks Jamie out. So then we now are flashing back to the castle with Jamie and Claire. And Jamie's like, and I don't really remember what happened after that because he knocked me out. And then I woke up. I woke up in a wagon, in the back of a wagon with like some chickens.
Where's his sister? Is his sister dead?
I'm concerned
for the sister. I don't really care about Jamie and Claire at this point. I'm concerned about the sister.
I think what we know is that she then went in the house with him. But Jamie doesn't know what happened after that. So he's obviously gonna, and we get to this later in the season where he's developed his whole story of what he has heard or thinks happened and all that kind of stuff. But you know, so he knows that she probably went upstairs with him, but he doesn't know kind of what happened after that. And he woke up in the back of a wagon, with just kind of like chickens in the back. And Claire's like, oh, I'm so sorry. That must've been awful. And he's like, oh, yes. Chickens are very poor company. Like, this is where like, cause Jamie has a sense of humor. Like, and it's almost like that's how he like deals. Cause he's been through some shit, you know, like he's been through some hard shit and he like, I think that's his way of dealing with it. Like he'll like crack a joke about it. So we're kind of already
same,
getting it.
Jamie.
You gotta sometimes do
it. You just gotta hide the pain with humor.
Right. So
just laugh. Just dark, dark jokes. You'll get through it.
Laugh through the pain. So yeah. So he, you know, kind of cracks some jokes about his own situation and Claire's like, oh, okay. And this is where we're kind of getting more of Nurse Claire and she's, you know, tending to his wounds. And this is, you know, he's like, yo, you're a very kind woman with a good touch. And I'm like,
I don't like that.
But the funny thing too, is like, he's like, you're a kind woman with a good touch. And then she like tightens the bandage and you can tell it kind of hurts. And he makes a face of like, oh, okay. All right. Except for right there. And he says like, you know, your husband is a really lucky man. Because she's wearing, on her left hand is this gold ring, right? The wedding ring from Frank.
Oh.
So, and she's been saying that she's married, right? She's right. Kind of, that's the story that she's in, you know, that kind of stuff. And so he's like, your husband's a very lucky man. And she then kind of turns away from him and is looking in the fire, and you can tell she's upset. And she's like, this makes her think of Frank. And we have another voiceover, and she kind of flashes, like, we see Frank and Reverend Wakefield, like, at the stones, the car that she's abandoned, looking around, being like, Claire, like, where's Claire? And she's kind of saying, like, what, like, Frank, like, what would he think? Like, she's now running through of, like, what would he think that I just abandoned him? Like, what must he think happened? Like, oh my goodness. Oh,
so time's moving in the other timeline. It's not like she just left the timeline and then she's gonna, no, but like time's moving in the other timeline.
Is it
the same? It's like one day equal one day.
It seems to be so far. We'll find out.
Cause like, but
good question.
Right.
Like, but yeah, like enough that him
maybe and she Reverend just time traveled and she'd come back in 10 minutes.
Yeah. Could you imagine? I lived a hell of a life the past 10 minutes. but so it's enough that him and Reverend Wakefield are like, have gone to look for her. Like,
okay.
Right. And so she's now thinking of that and she's upset. And Jamie's like, you know, Lass, like what's wrong? Like, is your husband, is he not alive? And this is where she goes, no, actually he's not alive, which is true because he's not born yet because it's 1743.
True. Okay, yeah. So
he technically doesn't exist. But so she doesn't say he's dead. She says,
he's not alive,
right? And she starts crying and he, and keep in mind.
But does she, at this point, she knows something's off, but does she know that she's like time traveled? Does she know that? Like, that's a weird concept. She's just coming to terms with this and she's just like, oh, okay, cool. I'm in another time.
I think she doesn't know exactly when she is just yet, but she knows she's not in 1945. Like, she knows, you know, and keep in mind, she's been married to a historian. So she has like some knowledge of history and that kind of stuff. So, I mean, we'll find out in the next couple of scenes, but she knows she's not in the correct time. She doesn't know exactly when, but okay, she knows something's okay, not right. Right. So she's like, no, actually he's not alive. And she's crying and she's really upset. And Jamie, keep in mind who he has his like right shoulder, like his one arm, like in a sling. Right. So he goes, he's like, I think his like right one's in a sling. So he goes like, oh, it's okay, Lass. And he like kind of tries to comfort her with like the one good arm he has. So they're kind of in like, so he has his arm and he's also like shirtless, like, so he has his arm around her and she like grabs his other arm and she's like crying into his shoulder and he's like trying to console her. And he's like muttering like Gaelic, which of course like we don't know. It must be like soothing words of just like, shh, it's okay.
Right. That like pitter patter that you say.
Yeah, exactly. But it's just, it's like in Gaelic. And then, you know, so they're in that moment for a minute. And then Claire kind of like, you know, comes back to reality and is like, oh, okay. And then steps away and she's like, oh, sorry. Or no. And they pull away and they stare at each other and they're like nose to nose for a second. And it's like really like the chemistry is so real between these two actors. Can I just also say that right now? Like, woo. So you're like, ooh, there's something there. And then Claire's kind of like, oh, okay. And she shakes away and they both kind of like,
she's married.
Shake away. Yeah, but it doesn't mean you can't appreciate an attractive man when he's right in front of your face. And Jamie's also like, and like backs away. And she's like, sorry. And he's basically like, you know, you don't.
Well, he's also her patient doctor boundaries or something.
Good point.
Crossing some lines.
And then
be a professional, Claire.
So yeah, so she's kind of like, he's like, you know, you don't need to be frightened. You don't need to be frightened of me, right? Don't be
scared. You should.
Don't be scared.
You kidnapped her. You threw her on her horse.
That was because they're about to go into a battle and he can't have her on the freaking horses. He's like fighting with his sword. She would be a definite target. He could have used her as a human shield in that battle then if he had her in front of him. So he's like, no, I'll just tuck you safe. But, you know, and he's like, you know, you don't need to be scared as long as I'm with you. And she's like, and what if you're not with me? And he's like, well, just don't forget that you're English in a place where that's not a pretty thing to be. So, you know, watch yourself. Just like be careful. And he's like,
also, okay. We're starting some Stockholm syndrome stuff here right now, eh?
I mean, it was Dougal that decided to take her. But also, how do we think she would be doing if she was alone in the woods right now?
Well, yeah, okay, she's not great at surviving. Right away, she went right to the wrong people and almost got raped. So she's not excellent on her own.
She needs some help. So basically he's like, you know, you look worn, you know, go catch some sleep. So she goes to sleep, and then we cut now to the next scene, and it's Mrs. Fitz like opening the curtains being like, get up, Uppia, get up. You slept nearly half the day. It's almost 5 o'clock. And so she's like getting her up, and Claire's like, like looking rough. She's brought her some clothes and some broth, and she lets her drink this broth for 5 seconds. She takes like one spoonful, and then she takes it away to like keep getting her dressed. So then she's taking off her clothes, and then we get her Claire in her like underwear, which it's like a silk bra. And Mrs. Fitz, you can tell, is like, what the heck is that? And Claire's like, oh, it's a brassiere from France. And she's like, oh, okay.
Just like accepts it.
Yeah. She's like, okay. All right, cool. And then again, we get another naked Claire. She fully takes that off, and she's standing there naked for a second. Claire's kind of like, oh, okay, well, guess this is happening. And she helps her to put on the million layers of clothes that they have to wear to get dressed and put the corset on. And so she looks like a Scottish woman in the 1740s. And then she, you know, kind of stands in front of the mirror with her, and she goes, there, now you look ready to be taken to himself.
What?
Yeah. Himself. Who do we think himself is?
I don't know. I don't know what this term himself, what a weird way to put anything.
So then
what, to Jamie, Dougal, Randall, who's trying to kill her now?
Okay. So
prepping her for the gallows.
So then Murta kind of arrives at the door and is like, okay, come on. So he leads her to this other room, office. It's got, you know, it's like on a desk and all these books, and there's some birds in there. And so she's like, you know,
birds in cages.
Yeah, like pet birds and like in like cage, like little pet birds in like a cage.
That's creepy. I don't like pet birds. I don't like birds. The birds in cages freak me out.
Fair enough.
I don't know. Fair enough. Have like those little claws and like sharp beaks. And I'm just like, they just shouldn't be in a house. They're like little mini dinosaurs people just have in their homes.
Just freaky. Chilling.
I don't like it.
Yeah. And so we get another voiceover too, where so Claire's on her own and she's kind of like, okay, I need to figure. She's like, I know where I am. I need to figure out when I am, right? She's like, I kind of think I have a rough idea of the time, but so this is where she's snooping. And then she finds like a piece of paper that says like 1743. Okay, so this is where I am. I just got to figure out what king it is. Okay, this is again, I guess, where, you know, being married to a historian has come in handy. And
the only
then
thing it's good for when you accidentally time travel.
Right? Ouch.
Just savagely ripping apart historians.
All right. Anyone that has a history degree. And then at this point enters the man who was looking at her from the window when she first arrived.
So, oh, creepy McCreepiston.
So he enters, and this is where he introduces himself, and his name is Colum McKenzie. So he is the laird.
Like Gollum?
But Colum. Colum McKenzie, who he is the laird of Leoc, the laird of the Mackenzie clan of Castle Leoc. So laird,
you're
is
saying that word like you think I know what it means.
What laird means? So
you just
laird,
keep saying it, and I'm like, all right.
Laird is like the leader, the chief, the leader of the whole area. So you're called like a laird.
Oh, okay.
It's a term, Scottish term. Gotcha. So he's the laird.
I believe you.
And
I don't think you're just making things up. That's fine.
Dougal is his brother.
Dougal. Oh, yeah, we don't like him. Okay, so we don't like Colum because we don't like his brother.
By association.
Yeah, you're guilty by association. If I don't like your brother, I don't like you.
And so, yeah, this is an interesting back and forth because they're kind of – so you can tell Colum's like – he's very polite. He's like, I welcome you, mistress. Do they have like a couple jokes back and forth? And then they're sitting talking back and forth. And he's – you can tell Colum's like trying to figure out her story. He's like, I have this random British woman who my brother found – you know, in the woods, in her shift. Apparently she had a run-in with the Redcoats and Randall, and what is happening? So you could tell he's like trying to figure out her story. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you know, and he's like, how is it that you were you know, set upon in the way. And she comes up with this story that she was traveling. She was on her way to travel to go to France to for some kin's people. So some like far family. And she was on her way and she was set upon by highwaymen and she fled and then came across Captain Randall and he attacked her. And it was during that encounter, I was relieved of my clothes and that kind of stuff. And then Colum says something to the effect of, yes, he has a bit of a reputation, but still, you know, he's one of the king's men. He's a man of the crown. Are you meaning to tell me that he would set upon you and try to rape you with no good reason? To which Claire says, is there ever a good reason for rape? She stares at him and he kind of pauses and you can tell he's like, touche, good point. My apologies, an unfortunate turn of phrase. And so she basically...
We got some 1743 feminism going on here.
Well, because Claire is... Hi, kitty.
I found a cat.
Hi. Because, well, also, Claire is from the 1940s.
Yeah, she's a little more aware, and
even during that time was quite progressive. Already for her time, right? So that's going to be an interesting tug of war. And so basically she says, you know, I will require assistance to get back to Inverness because she's thinking, I got to get back to the stones. It's kind of
you got to go thinking. Through the stones again.
Right? She's like, you know, could I get some assistance to get back to Inverness and continue on my journey? And he's like, yeah, there's a tinker that stops by here oftentimes on his way to Inverness. So he might be able to take you with him. He should be here in 5 days.
Okay, so they bought the story. This Colum dude bought the story? Didn't buy the story?
It's a very interesting kind of game back and forth. Like you can get the vibe. He still doesn't trust her. Like he knows she's kind of not holding the full story, but that kind of stuff. So then, and at the beginning of this also Claire is having a flashback again to she's having a flashback to when Frank had mentioned, because again Frank was an intelligence in the war, right? So Frank had said to her at one point,
right,
like, oh, I had learned in interrogation how to withstand interrogation. And the trick is, you know, you want to stick to the truth as much as possible, only altering the details which must be hidden, right? So that's why she's like, okay, my name is Claire Beecham. I'm a widowed lady from Oxfordshire. And then because she's going to go with, I was married and now my husband isn't alive, so I'm widowed.
Well, yeah, because you shouldn't be that age and not be married.
And there's also like a ring on her finger and all of that. So there's that too. But basically she's like, okay. So basically he's like, yeah, okay. This guy will come and help you in 5 days time. So Claire's like another voiceover. She's like, okay, I just have to like lay low and survive 5 days and then I can get out of here. Right. So she kind of goes out and she's watching the courtyard and she's saying like, I have some, hi kitty. She's like, I have some.
Do you hear her purring?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I know. She's a machine.
She's loving it. But she's kind of like, yeah, I have some knowledge of this time. But it's secondhand. It's from books and all this kind of stuff, right? But she's kind of watching and she watches Dougal play. There's a bunch of kids playing around and one of them, there's this one little boy.
Okay, so she's just going to hang out there for 5 days?
Yeah, she's going to stay at the castle for 5 days. She's like, I just got to get through these 5 days and then they're going to help me get to Inverness. So she's watching and she sees Dougal playing with one of the kids and they're like pretend sword fighting and he's like, oh gosh, you killed me. And he like picks, you know, and he picks him up and plays around. And then Claire's kind of like, okay, but maybe this isn't so different than my time after all. Like they're still humans with relationships.
You're wrong. I don't think that's going to turn out to be true.
She's like, you know, so then we flash to the dinner scene and like this set is so nice. It's like kind of like a great hall type deal where they have dinner.
Okay.
And she walks in and it's like hella awkward. Like everybody, it gets silent and everyone's like staring at her. She's like, this is uncomfortable. So, cause everyone's like, cause keep in mind, she's this English woman. She's this Sassenach.
Right. So everyone's okay, like, yeah,
who is this random lady? Like we don't they don't like the English very much right now, right? Because they're basically the equivalent of like they're occupied, right, by these English soldiers rooming the countryside.
So why is Gollum letting her stay?
Because she's a woman in need of assistance, and they're not monsters. But so she walks in and walks up to the head table, and she kind of curtsies, and Dougal like gets up and gives her his seat up at the head table. So, you know, you're like, okay. So, and then right away, Colin pours her a drink and, you know, introduces him to his wife, Letitia, who's like sitting right there. And it's very much like, yeah, like you can tell people don't like fully trust her. And then this is where he starts, Colin starts this kind of small talk. Okay. So he's trying again, and you can tell he's really crafty with it. He's like trying to poke holes in her story, like, because it's not fully making sense. He's trying to, he's like, who are you? Like, what do you want? Like, what is happening? And he starts with the why.
Well, yeah, her story's a little sketch, a little suspect here.
Well, and the first thing
is like randomly trying to go to France by yourself, just get attacked by, and then the redcoats don't help you. Yeah.
Right?
Because
you're also English. So why would the other English soldiers not help
you? And if you're like a lady, because you have people in France.
Exactly. So they're like, I don't know if I believe you, Claire. So he's kind of like, you know, basically he starts with like, why Beecham? Why do you go with Beecham? If your folk are from France, why don't you go by Beauchamp? And she's like, you know, the relatives I have in France are distant, and I'm sure somewhere along the line an ancestor decided to go with the English term Beecham. Like, she's just like trying to make stuff up. And then he's like, you know, where in France are your people from? And you can see Claire's like eating and like drinking. She's like, oh God, this is
uncomfortable. Buying time.
You know, and she's, you know, she's like, oh, they're from the north near Compiègne. And they're like, oh, okay. And you can tell Colin's like so not buying it. He's like, okay. But it's very like diplomacy, right? Like, you're never going to show your hand. You're very okay. And then she goes, oh, is Mr. McTavish feeling better? And everyone's like, Mr. McTavish. And they're like, oh, she means Jamie. Because she knows him as Jamie McTavish. Or why? He's like, well, find out later. And so they're like, who's, oh, and they're like, oh, Dougal's like, he's in the stables. And you can tell Colm's like, why are we keeping him in the stables? And he's like, well, we don't want to, you know, we don't really want him inside the walls right now, so it's better for him to be out there. And then, you know, Colm pours her another glass of something called Rhenish. It's his like own alcohol that he like has for himself, and it's probably stronger. Dougal
put him in the stable? Why is he in the stable? Wasn't he in the room getting...
Yeah, that was the night before. Yeah, that was the night before. And like, he's just not in the hall during dinner. He's like out tending to the horses in the stable.
Oh, like he's not like in prison out there.
No.
He's not like jailed and like he's sleeping in the stables.
Yeah, he's out helping in the stables. He's like, he's very good with horses. And so he's like helping out there. But you kind of get the sense that they're like trying to just keep him away from the inside of the castle walls. Why? I don't know. We'll find out. You look like you have thoughts. I'm trying to figure
this out. I'm suspicious.
I love that you don't remember this.
I have no recollection of this.
Like that it's really not coming back to you.
Nope, nothing. No idea.
And then, in walks, you know, the little boy that she saw Dougal playing with. And she goes, oh, hi, my name's Claire. I saw you playing with your father. And everyone looks real awkward. And it's like I still, I can't watch this scene. Like, I have to fast forward. It's the secondhand embarrassment I feel is so real. It's so awkward because everyone's like quiet and looking around. And then the little boy's name is Hamish. And Hamish goes, I'm the son of the Laird Mackenzie. So it's Colm's son.
Oh.
Not Dougal's. But it's like, ooh, sore spot.
So why did
it's
everyone like, get a... awkward about that.
I don't know. When she thought that he was Dougal's.
Is Colm the older brother or younger brother?
Older.
Okay. And he's married. Is Dougal married?
We wouldn't know this, but I will tell you that yes. Find out later. But he is married, but his wife's like nowhere to be seen. She's not there.
Did he kill her?
No.
He slit her throat.
No, he didn't.
He did not. Turn into a murder mystery.
I mean, maybe, but no. But yeah, so it's like hella awkward. It's so like, it's so awkward. And Claire's also getting a little intoxicated at this point. And so she's like, oh, like, I'm so sorry. And then she kind of goes, if you'll forgive me, I'm tired still from the journey. I'm going to retire early. And Colm's like, good night to you then. And she gets up and she has to like steady herself. And you're like, damn it, Claire, you silly person. She's tipsy.
Don't get boozed out when you're being interrogated.
Exactly. Well, and as she's walking,
captors.
And as she's walking back to the room, she's like, oh, Frank would have laughed at me if he saw this. I fell for the oldest trick in the book, basically. She's like,
get them drunk and then spill all your secrets.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good one.
So she's like, if I was gonna survive my time here, I've gotta be smarter. Like, I gotta
Yeah, you dumb, Claire.
I gotta get with it. Right?
I have no sympathy for you. You dumb. You made a mistake. 101, don't get drunk.
When you're being interrogated.
Kidnapping 101, don't get drunk.
It's not helpful. So then, you know, it's the next morning and Claire's down in the kitchen and Mrs. Fitz is there and she's like, you slept in, you missed breakfast. I saved you some porridge if you want. And she's kind of like,
Wow, they're really like sleep shaming this woman. I know. She's tired. Stop shaming her. It's not her fault. Jeez.
She sleeps till noon. And then she kind of comes in and she was like, oh, I was hoping to find Mr. McTavish and you know, change his bandages. Do you know, and take him something to eat. Do you know where he is? She's like, oh, yeah, oh, this way. So then she's like, okay. So she walks. So he's out at the stables. So she's like walking. And then we can see like Rupert is kind of following her, like trailing. That's her.
Creepy.
Like, and he's like trying to be like inconspicuous about it. Like, you know, when you're like spying on someone, but you're trying to like be like
around the corner.
You're trying to be like do 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 do. And she can like she knows he's there. So she's like, okay. So then she walks up to the stables and we can see Jamie's out there and he's kind of like training in a new horse. He's like speaking Gaelic to the horse and he's like, you know, doing his thing. He's his character is very good with horses. And she kind of walks up and she's looking at him, like kind of smiling.
Is there a weird woman horse metaphor? Because I'm not going to be happy about that. Like breaking in the
air. If
that metaphor gets made, I'm going to be real, real upset. I'm telling you that right now.
Well, funny you should say that because Claire comes
see
up.
See where this is going and I'm not happy.
Claire comes up and she admires him for a minute and then like touches the railing and knocks something over and makes this loud noise. So the horse like freaks out and is like, oh, and like kind of bucks Jamie and like throws him into the fence for a second. And you're like, poor dude.
That's good for his wounds.
The scraper his dislocated shoulder and his wounds. And he's like, ah, and he says some curses in Gaelic and Claire's like, oh, I'm so sorry. And he kind of like composes himself and kind of smiles at her. And he's like, don't worry about it. And he goes, she's just a girl with spirit is all. And that's always a good thing. And we're like,
oh, I don't like that. I don't like that.
No? No? You're not a fan?
No, I don't like that. 0 out of 10. Nope.
Oh, Jamie's going to have to try harder to get Brittany on his side.
Yep. He didn't win me over with that one.
but
I
so then.
A horse comparison was going to come in. Knew it.
So yeah, so now they're sitting kind of having like a picnic in the stables and somehow, you know, it
wait,
she
Rupert
says,
and
no
like,
no
is
no
Rupert
Jane
there, or is Rupert just weirdly spying on them like a creep.
I think he's weirdly spying on them like a creep, but we don't see him in this frame in this
okay,
scene.
So he's just like we just know somewhere. He's peepee topping.
What is peeping? Peeping, tomming. Yes. So, yeah. So, and then, you know, she's kind of like, wow, like you had an appetite because he's eating and makes a joke of like, I'd think you'd eat grass if it was available. And he mentions like, I mean, I have before. It fills you up. It doesn't taste very good though. And she's kind of like, why? Then we get in this whole backstory of like, why did you eat grass? And he's like, well, there was, you know, it was like a year or two ago. I was living basically kind of rough. You know, where he was living out in the heather and out, you know, in the wilderness.
Where's his father's farm?
Right. So this is what she asked. She's like, well, and he's like, you know, we were out and we were like raiding cattle and all this kind of stuff. And she's like,
they were stealing cows?
It is
cow tipping. That's mean.
Cow
what when I think? when I went to school in Nova Scotia, there was a bunch of people, and I'm not proud to say, but that was what they would do. They'd go cow tip.
That was the pastime. Let's go. Yep. The poor cows.
I know. I was not happy about it.
Are they able to get back up? Like, I've always wondered.
I don't know. I refused to go when they went cow tipping.
It's not good for them. I know it's that. It's not.
No. And I don't know if it like breaks their legs or hurts them, but like, I know it's not good.
Folks out there, please don't cow tip.
Cow tip. It's not nice.
But no, like you would be stealing cattle. Usually it's like a means for survival. Like, man, it's Highlanders. It's a rough life, rough culture.
Aren't they stealing it from other Highlanders? Isn't that kind of like
other? There's different clans too, right? So there's
they're also infighting too.
Well, you're just stealing what you need to survive usually. Or you steal it. You steal it to sell it for food, to buy money to have food, or just like, you know, like that's kind of, I'm not saying it's right. It's just, that seems to be the life.
Are we advocating for theft? Is that where we've come?
I'll just say 1740s seemed like a different world, man.
1740s, we will allow stealing.
I'm not gonna say it's right, but it just seemed to be the way of life. But so basically, Claire asks him that though. She's like, okay, one would ask like, why were you raiding cattle instead of tending to your own farm? And that's where Jamie's like, well, there was a price on my head. He's like, I couldn't go back home because remember he's an
outlaw and thieving.
So he's like, he's basically like, I'm an outlaw. And she's like, why is there a price on your head? And he's like, for murder. And he goes, but don't worry, I didn't do it. He's like, I didn't do it.
I don't know if I believe you, sir. You steal cows. You don't have a great record.
Okay. And so she's like, I'm sorry, what? And it was, okay, so when he was flogged, so basically, you know, they arrested him for obstruction, which was basically like him stopping the Redcoats from like assaulting his sister. That's
why were they assaulting his sister if they were just there to collect taxes?
Because they're men.
Oh.
From the 1700s, like it was like 1769 or no,
yeah, 1759. There was still like
they're British soldiers. We know about groupthink and doing awful things, and so you know, they probably thought, this is a good looking girl, let's have some fun.
Yeah, I was watching a documentary on the I forget the militia army in the Congo, and
not great.
All right, rape and pillage and burn stuff. Yeah, I get that. Well, and I mean, who was it? Wasn't Alexander the Great? Who was the other one? And they went and they salted all the land. That was mean.
Ouch.
Yeah,
I don't know.
They were like conquered, and then they like salted the land so that you couldn't like come back after they burned your farm down, and they salted the land so you couldn't grow anything.
It's great, great time to be alive, eh? But yeah,
that's
so basically,
good when they're in power.
Frick. But so basically, because then from there, he was then imprisoned at Fort William, is the name of the place where he was imprisoned and flogged. And
he was in the wagon with the chickens, he was imprisoned.
They took him to imprison.
Why did they put him with the chickens? Why didn't they just put him in like a jail?
Because they had a wagon handy that they had probably taken from another Highland farm.
They probably stole the chickens. And they just threw him in with the stolen chickens?
And then took him to Fort William and imprisoned him.
Okay.
They were probably someone's food. I don't know.
That's really sad.
So he was imprisoned at Fort William, and he said, and then some, after he was flogged twice within an inch of his life, some of his friends came and broke him out. He escaped. And he basically said, during that jailbreak, a soldier was killed, and he was blamed for it.
Who killed him then? Was it Dougal?
I don't know exactly who Gollum? Was that broke him out. It definitely wasn't Colum, because you guess what I forgot to tell you? When we first meet Colum, Claire notices that his legs are severely disfigured, like almost like bow-legged, like really, really bad. Like severe to the, like, it's very noticeable. He walks with like a big limp and all that kind of stuff. And Claire notices that and is like, And then she says, after watching him for about 5 days, she kind of like, I figured out what the diagnosis would have been. It was like something Zyprex syndrome that is a degenerative disorder of bone and connective tissue. And you know, most people that have it don't live long. So she's like, so he's definitely living on borrowed time, and it must be incredibly painful. So it definitely wasn't Colin breaking him out. Okay. I don't know exactly who, but basically during this breakout, a soldier was killed and Jamie was blamed for it. And Jamie's like, to tell you the truth, when that happened, like I was in no condition. I could barely hold on to, cause he had literally been flogged. Like, do you know what a cat of nine tails?
Yeah, I've watched The Hunger Games when Gail gets flogged.
But like,
terrible. Remember when he's like pinned up and he's like,
Katniss
comes in and goes, whoosh.
When we get to this point, like it makes what happened to Gail look like Mickey Mouse really? Stuff. Like,
it was sad. He almost died.
It's bad. But
I liked Gail better than PETA. Hot take.
Hot take.
I did not like PETA.
I was team PETA. Anywho.
Let's
keep going.
So whiny.
I loved PETA. This is gonna be such a long episode because
all of our episodes are long.
Not even halfway through, but
okay.
Because this episode is still a lot. Like the first couple episodes, it's a lot of world building, right?
Right. Okay.
And we're
so. When were you hooked? I have a question. Because you watched the first seven episodes back to back, so you were like instantly
from the beginning. I guess from the beginning.
Okay.
Well, because it was more like, okay, this is interesting. I wonder what's happening next.
Okay.
And I was super intrigued by like Jamie and Claire's dynamic. So you're kind of like, ooh, okay, something's here. I wonder what's going to happen. And yeah, I don't know. I was probably, from the beginning because I watched seven episodes in my first sitting. So
are you a story or character driven?
Ooh, good question. I feel like it depends on what I'm watching. Like there are some times where I love a good story, but I don't know. I feel like in this series, I may be more character driven.
Interesting.
Like
I'm definitely a more plot driven person. So I'm always intrigued, but I know there's a lot of like,
and there's a lot of plot.
That really love and need the character development there. Whereas I can have shitty characters as long as the plot's there.
Well, I would like both because
ideally,
right? Because then, because if you have, because sometimes if you have plot, but like no character moments, it's like you just
that's John Wick, and it was fucking great.
Woo, we have an F-bomb.
Whoops. Sorry about that.
But and I feel like maybe you can get away with it in some films, but when you're talking about like a long running series, like I think character needs to be a priority as well. Obviously, plot is important; otherwise, you're watching some sort of indie character piece.
Yeah, which, that's true.
I love a good indie character drama every now and then, but I like. I guess it depends on who the characters are. Like, I will latch on to characters, and like their character development to me drives the plot.
Right. Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay. Fair. I understand. I appreciate
you know,
that.
It's like, you know, I want to know what's going on. But so basically he escaped and he was like, yeah, I was in rough shape. There was no way I would have been able to kill a man. I could barely stay conscious enough to hold on to the horse and not fall off.
So that's his defense?
Well, he's like,
but okay.
Okay. He's like, he's like, do you think I'm dumb enough to kill a soldier? Like, really? Really? But anyway.
Okay, so now there's a bounty on his head. Okay.
So there's a bounty on his head. So, and Claire's like, oh, okay, I take it your name isn't McTavish then. And he's like, no, it's not. I'm a wanted, I'm definitely a wanted man. Like there's a price on my head. And Claire's kind of like, well, do Colm and Dougal know this? Like that there's a bounty on your head kind of deal. And he's like, yes, they know. He's like, they're my uncles.
Oh, okay.
So they're Mackenzies. So this is where they find out that on his mother's side. So his mother was their sister.
Oh, okay. All right. So he's their nephew. Okay. So why are they making him sleep in the stables? Has he murdered someone and they don't believe him?
No, more to protect him. Like for the most part, they think that the people in the castle wouldn't like snitch on his whereabouts. But
so they're even hiding his identity from like everyone?
More just trying to keep him out of sight, out of mind. Because it's more like... there's a huge bounty on his head that, like, if someone were to turn him in, it's like a farmer's income for like a year if they were to turn him in to the British.
So he might be tantalized.
Right. So they're kind of like, you know, let's just.
Okay. Who knows who he is? So the uncles know. Do like
most
people. Duel knows. So like Rupert and all them know?
Yeah. They know who he is.
Oh, okay.
Myrta, Mrs. Fitz, like a lot of people, but it just might be like, he might be seen by like some random people. So it's like, you know, if we keep him out of sight, out of mind as much as possible, just in case.
Okay.
And you know, Claire's kind of like, okay, well, why did you tell me if there's such a bounty on your head? And he's like, well, you asked.
And she's well, he's like, dumb.
Well, no.
What if she's a spy? She's British. No wonder he gets caught all the time.
Well, and he basically says, like, I don't know, like, I feel like I can trust you. And she's like, okay, all right. And then Party Pooper Alec comes in here.
Who's Alec?
He's the horse, horsemaster.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
So he kind of comes in and is like, basically, like, Jamie, get off your lazy butt. What's going on? He's like, I'm stopping for an eating break. Like, come on. And then, so she says goodbye to him and she says, like, you know, try not. You know, and he's like, you know, thank you again. Thank you so much for your kindness. And she's like, well, thanks enough. We'll be try not to get flogged or stabbed today. That'll be thanks enough. And he goes, no promises, Sassenach. Another Sassenach. So this is becoming a thing. I just can't wait till you watch it because
it Sam sounds Heughan, awkward.
Sam Heughan is a much better Jamie than I am.
Because no, you're selling it. You're selling it.
Because there are some things that you read on the page that you're like, that looks weird, but he manages to make it work. Although there are some lines in later seasons where I'm like, oh, Sam tried his hardest, but this oh dear, he did his best. But okay, so now Claire's walking back to the castle, and she knows she can see Rupert. So finally, she's like, screw this, and she walks up to him, and she's like, are you following me? And he won't say anything, and so she walks away, and she's like, did Dougal tell you to follow me? Like, she's so annoyed. And Rupert's like, you know, for a woman, you ask a lot of questions. And she, like Claire is annoyed. And then, you know, and basically he's like, we can gather that, okay, Dougal's asked him to keep an eye on her. Because they don't trust her.
I mean, fair.
Right?
She's lying to them.
And I mean, understandably that she's lying, but basically Claire's annoyed and she's like, well, fine. And then he kind of is like, well, I'll tell you, it's better me than Angus. Cause Angus is like a fornicator of women. And when no women are around, he likes
that dad with bod wee guy?
Beast. He's
ew.
No,
wait, did you just like throw in a little bestiality remark there?
Apparently.
Ew.
Angus is a weird dude.
Ew. And then, the poor sheep.
And he says something to the effect of like, you know, he likes, and even with women, he likes women that are basically like unbathed and gross and shared. Claire's like, I'll make sure I bathe regularly then. And then she's huffing away. Like she's super annoyed.
Wait, that was just. You're right.
It's written better than I articulated it. I'm just going to say that. But yeah. Okay. So then Claire comes across Dougal in the castle again. And again, she's annoyed and like telling him that she's annoyed about like having me followed. Huh? Like you don't trust me. Mm-hmm. And he's very much like, well, I don't trust you. And he's basically like, I know that there are things you aren't telling us. So while you're under this roof, if I want to have you followed, I'm going to have you followed. And then she says something to the effect of like, well, fine. And then in 5 days I'll be gone. And he didn't know she was leaving. He was like, oh, really? And she's like, oh, you didn't know that? Well, guess your brother doesn't tell you anything. Guess you didn't ken that. And she like walks away.
Snarky.
Snarky, sassy Claire. And so then basically we get another montage of the next day. She's getting dressed and she's got another voiceover being like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to try to get through these next few days. And she talks about how she helps Mrs. Fitz in the kitchen and she helps out like collecting herbs in the garden and all that kind of stuff, harvesting food. There's like this 40s tune, like the music. It's like, and she's like humming it. And then as she's in the garden, she's like picking something. And then you just hear this little Scottish voice say, those ones are poisonous. And Claire's like, oh, and like bonks her head. And she's like, oh, sorry. And there's this like redheaded woman, like long red hair in the garden, like picking stuff too. And Claire's like, oh, thank you. I know that they're poisonous though. Like they're like these mushroom tops. And she's like, oh, well, who is it that you're trying to do away with then? And she goes, your husband, maybe? Let me know if it works and I'll try it on mine.
Oh my. All right. I like her.
So we're already getting like killing husband jokes. And so she introduces her name as Galus Duncan. She lives in the village. And Claire's like, oh, my name's Claire. She's like, oh, I know. The village is humming about you. And she's like, ooh, oh,
gossip.
She's like, oh, what is it that they're saying? And she's like, and oh my gosh, the actress Lottie Verbeek that plays her is like so good. Like her voice is so like airy and like this like very like there's such a rhythm to her Scottish accent. And she's very much like, she's like, oh, what do they say? And she's like, that you're likely a Sassenach spy. Oh, and she's like, oh, okay. And then she suddenly points out like, oh, those flowers over there, if you take them, they'll induce your flux early. Good for if you're trying to do away with a bairn. A bairn is Scottish for baby. So like talking about these like abortion flowers. And she's like, some of the women in some of the townsfolk, the women come to me for medicinals and things that are needed. And then she goes,
she a druid.
She goes, they say I'm a witch. Claire's like, well, are you? And she's like, no, but I just know stuff about things.
I don't believe you.
And then she's like, you know, you should come visit me down in the village one day, you know, stock up on your herbs and stuff. And then she's like, I'll see you tonight in the hall. And she's like, in the hall? Okay, I guess there's some sort of dinner happening in the hall. So now we're flashing. Okay, it's nighttime. We're in like the great hall.
Wait, what did she want the poisonous mushrooms for?
She said something about the fact that like if you grind the tops down, it can be used as a good like topical thing.
Oh, okay.
Right. That's all that. And so they're in the hall.
She was like secretly like getting an arsenal to like murder everyone if she needed. That's what I'd be doing.
She's like, I'm loaded. I'm ready to go.
I got mushrooms for all you perverts.
You're going down. I mean, Claire is a smart lady. So, but okay. So now we're flashing into the hall and, you know, Colm comes in and everybody's so it's not dinner, but everyone's like dressed kind of well. Claire's in like this really pretty dress. She has like a little like neck ribbon choker on. And she's standing with Galus. So they are now besties and they're standing side by side in the crowd.
The witch?
Yes. We're just going to refer to her as the witch.
That's the witch.
Galus Duncan. And so basically what's happening is it's the time where people, townsfolk are airing their complaints. They're bringing their complaints to the laird to like any disputes that they might be having to sort them out. Oh, and okay. It's all in Gaelic. Again, no subtitles, but luckily Galus is translating for Claire.
Oh, good little witch.
Right.
Because, you always need a witch best friend. It's
right.
Like Hermione.
Cause otherwise, oh, if only, oh, Hermione. Hermione was my best friend in my head for so long.
Yeah, she's still my best friend. I mean, you know? Love you and you're my best friend, but Hermione's number one. You can be number two.
That's okay. I'm not upset about that. I understand.
Right.
I understand. Yeah. So he's like, so she's kind of like explaining all of this stuff. She's like, oh, they're fighting over land. Oh, they're fighting over cattle. Oh, this is happening. And then there's all this Gaelic and then jokes and And then in comes this man bringing in his daughter, younger.
Okay.
She's probably like six. She's about 16-ish.
Is he selling your daughter?
No, and he's coming in and she's like, oh, and he like doesn't look happy. And he says something. And Galus, our lucky translator, says, you know, her dad thinks she's been sleeping around. Like wishes she's been exercising loose morals and wishes her to be punished.
Oh.
Don't we love this time in history? Don't we love it? Right? And they're like, oh no. So they're figuring out what the punishment is. And then Claire looks over and she can see Jamie and Murtaugh in the crowd, like watching, and they're talking back and forth. And we can see Murtaugh like doesn't look that happy with like Murtaugh's much older than her.
I have no reference for this.
But he doesn't, that would be a plot twist. He doesn't look super happy. Excuse me. And then basically,
Ew, could you imagine your dad getting, pulling you in front of your whole town being like, ew, she's sleeping around and I want you whipped.
So embarrassing. Ugh, so then they're about to open the back of her dress to do it. And then Jamie yells something in Gaelic that we obviously don't understand. You can see Murta's oh man, come on. No.
Shut up, Jamie.
So he's yelling something in Gaelic with a smirk. Jamie's very charismatic. He's very, chumming, saying something in Gaelic, and we're all, the audience and Claire, what's happening? And Gaelis, our lucky translator, again, says he's offering to take her punishment for her. And Claire doesn't love this idea because she's but he's still injured. And Gaelis is
he's not great at this staying alive thing. I mean, also, right? I mean, I kind of like that act, but I also am I don't like that, but all right. I guess it's better than the 16-year-old getting whipped, but this is all weird and I'm not happy about a lot of it.
Fair enough.
Ew, my dad even thinking about my morals grosses me out. Ew.
Oh, well, it's remember that, not to get too into it, but remember when T.I. was the whole thing
with my his God, I know. That was college so results. Yeah, and he got to, every 6 months, that's weird. He gets sent to him.
Doctor, give me my results. Not cool. Don't love that.
Nope, not happy about that. And then why are you sharing that? Ew.
But yes, okay. But unfortunately, right. But yes. So he's offered to take the punishment, and Claire's not loving this. And so then he walks up and they're talking and he's arguing for it now. And then they okay, they agree to let it happen. And
why is Jamie doing this? Just because he doesn't think people should get whipped, or does he know this chick? Who's this chick?
We'll find out. And so Gaelis then translates, okay, he chooses the fists rather than the strap. So he's not trying to get whipped again. He's just punch me. And
so the dad's going to punch him? Was the dad going to whip his daughter?
No, it would be other people do the punishment, okay. Right? But, and Claire is
better or worse? I don't know.
Claire isn't. Well, Jamie's been flogged, so he's probably.
No, but I'm thinking for the daughter. Is it better or worse if it's your dad that does it?
Oh, it wouldn't be him.
Random person.
It all sucks.
Yeah, there's no good option here. Okay, I was trying to run it through my head, and I was like, nah, this is all bad. Okay.
Option D, none of the above is preferable. But Claire is very much this is barbarous. She's so upset, and you can tell she's genuinely concerned about Jamie's well-being. She doesn't love that this is about to happen. And then before he goes up, Murta stops him and grabs his arm and says, careful lad, Dougal's up to something, your uncle is up to something.
Why does his uncle not like him?
To be determined.
But his uncle was with him when they were riding.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There's layers. It's an onion, my friend.
Shrek.
And so basically Rupert, exactly. So Rupert is
not
kind
a parfait,
of
because people are getting flogged.
Not good. Yeah. And so Rupert's kind of been elected to dole out the punishment. And you can tell Rupert.
So Rupert is Dougal's man and Murta is Jamie's friend.
Yeah, which we'll find out more. But yeah, you can tell Murta's Jamie's kind of right-hand
dude.
Together.
Okay. And and Dougal has Rupert under his thumb.
Yeah, kind of has loyalty. And
okay, we don't Rupert?
Well, not that we don't. We don't.
Is dad bod guy again? Who's the dad bod?
Rupert.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Wait, who sleeps with the donkeys?
Angus.
Angus, got it. Okay.
Why did we pick donkeys?
I don't know. I just decided. Because at first I said sheep, and then I really like sheep, and so I went with donkeys. Because they can at least defend themselves. They can kick. That's my logic on that.
Fair enough. So you can tell Rupert kind of looks at Dougal, who's standing right beside Collins. Collins in his throne chair and Dougal's right beside him, and kind of gives him just a look. And so, he's kind of taking orders from Dougal, and he looks at Jamie with a kind of I'm sorry, man face, and then just friggin' punches him right in the gut. And you're like, oh, Jamie, ouch. And then he lets him breathe for a second and then punches him in the gut again. And you're like, ouch. And then he walks around him and punches him in the back, and you're like, ouch. And Jamie's just taking it. And Rupert just kind of, and he looks at Dougal, and Dougal doesn't change his face. So he knows, he's like, okay, I gotta keep going. And
why
then,
is he beating the shit out of his nephew?
We'll find out. And then Rupert punches him from behind, or no, in front, right in the injured shoulder.
Ow.
And that takes Jamie to his knees for a second, because you're like, oh, right in the dislocated shoulder / gunshot wound. And Claire like wants to run to him in that moment, and Galus like grabs her arm and is like, don't. Nope.
Interfere. Yeah. Woman, don't do that. That's bad.
Don't do that. So she what? Wants
and
to
And the
help.
Dad agreed to this? The dad of the daughter agreed to this nonsense?
Yeah. I think there was some back and forth about like, no, I want her punished. I don't know. It's all in Gaelic. I don't know.
So we don't know. Okay.
But they negotiated it. Oh, okay. Jamie somehow negotiated this. And then Rupert keeps punching him. And then Claire's like, oh my God, how long does this keep happening? And Galus is like, usually until, you know, blood is drawn, which usually is like when they break their nose or something. And Claire is like, what the hell? Like, this is awful.
Yeah, that's terrible.
She's like, what is this? Barbarous. And so Jamie gets punched a couple more times in the mouth till he's finally spitting blood. And then he gets it right in the face till he's finally down. He's like fully bleeding now. And Murta comes to like help him up. And then Jamie like hobbles up to Colm, looks at Dougal, looks at Colm, and just kind of does a little bow with like a little bit of a smirk, and then like trying to keep like his poker face on, but like the dude
in
is
pain,
in
yeah.
pain. And then he hobbles away, and then like Murta's like helping him
on
his
way out. This is a dysfunctional family.
Right? Woo, buddy. And then Murta kind of like helps him like hobble away. And then he kind of looks over his shoulder and he sees Claire in the crowd and gives her like a little bit of a smirk and then like keeps hobbling. And then Claire wants to like go run after him right away to like help him. And Galus is like, no, go this way. It's quicker and you'll stir less gossip. So she kind of like probably shows her like a back way to get there or whatever.
Okay. I like Witch Hermione.
And then we cut to, okay, they're now by another fireside. And again, we get more Nurse Claire. And so Claire, like, you know, is like, okay, like, not too bad. She's like, he's got like a bruise. He's going to have a bruise on his face, like cuts. Like, she's trying to tend to him. And she's basically like, so why did you do that? Like, why did you take her punishment? Like, do you know her? And he's kind of like, oh, I ken who she is. Like, basically, like, I know who she is. Like, I don't really know her, but I know of her. Like, I know who she is. And he's like, she's like, so why? Like, why would you? And he's like, oh, well, it would have shamed the lass. Like, basically to have her degraded and punished that way as a female, a young female in front of the whole clan. It would have shamed her. He's like, whereas it's not going to hurt my pride. It's not going to I can take it. Right. So you're like, okay. And then Mrs. Fitz comes in with some more concoctions to help him out. And this is where she kind of like thanks him. Oh, and this girl's name, by the way, is Leary.
That's pretty.
Her name is Leary. It's spelled like Liego hair, but it's Leary.
Okay.
And Mrs. Fitz comes in and is like, you know, what you did, it was kindly meant, lad. And then she, you know, looks at Claire and goes, Leary's my granddaughter, you see? and that kind of stuff. And then she kind of walks away.
Like, is that your son that dragged her in? Go beat your son, woman. Bad.
Son or son-in-law or something.
Whatever. Somebody, he needs to get beaten. Why doesn't he get punched?
Right? 1743, man. You're going to have fun with this, Brittany. My little, you know, modern feminist, you're going to have fun with this.
There's going to be a lot of pills to swallow with this, I'm feeling.
And I feel it too.
The fact that we're protecting anyone's virtue right now is just.
Well, I don't think he was protecting her virtue. But think of like a virtue is all, your virtue is almost all you have as a young woman in that time. Like, you know what I mean?
But I hate that.
And that's okay. It's okay. I think it's okay to hate that, but also recognize the reality of the people living in that time.
And I know. And I know at that time it mattered. It just,
Of course, we can hate it and it's gross and it's blah. But like, so Jamie stepping in is like basically A, stops her from getting whipped in front of everyone. And B, it kind of.
So this means now she doesn't get punished.
Yeah.
She's just fine.
Yep. So no.
Is her reputation fine? Or she's still seen as this one that with the loose morals, like her dad announced to everyone. Like that already happened. That didn't go away.
That's already out there. I mean, to be determined.
Like, does she still have to go home with the dad and like live with him?
Probably.
I'd be like, can I go stay at my grandma's?
Well, I think they live at Leoc too.
Oh, okay. Can I stay away from this man?
But basically then Claire's kind of giving him instructions because she's like leaving the next day, right? So she's right. Like, so
oh, she's like, tinker. Yeah.
So okay. She's like, keep these bandages on for the next couple days and take them off. And he's like, oh, well, can't you just help me with that? Like you're a nurse. Like, and she's like, oh, well, like I would, but I won't be here.
She'll attend him.
Could you imagine? Like that's his plan.
He's like, I don't actually care about this chick. I'm just going to get beaten. So Claire has to talk to me more.
I just want you to like keep, I like you, mistress.
The only time she talks to me is when I'm bleeding.
Yeah.
Somebody comes stab me.
Oh my Lord. And so then basically, you know, she's like, oh, I'll be leaving tomorrow. And you can see in his face again, good acting, Sam Heughan. You can see in his face for like a half a second, like he's kind of like sad that she's going to be leaving, but he's a man of his time. He knows he's very aware of propriety and like being a gentleman and all that kind of stuff. And like, you know, she's this foreign widowed woman and he's this outlaw, and so he's kind of, you can tell he's kind of like bummed that she's going to be leaving, but he's like, oh of course, well, safe travels to you and thank you Mistress Beecham.
Does he have a crush?
Maybe he does have a little crush, but like we get the sense that he knows that she's like
out of his league.
Well, and it just like the fit wouldn't, like the match wouldn't be able to happen. Yeah. she's also leaving. She's this British woman who's apparently trying to get to France, and like, so he knows that it's just like, oh, okay, happen. But he I think he's drawn to her. I think it, and okay. I would say it's safe to say she's a little drawn to him, a little bit. There's some things there, but
a little cougar, so yeah. Action from Claire.
5 years older, cougar.
I don't know.
In that time, I guess, maybe, I don't know. But yeah, so she's basically like, yeah, so they say goodbye and he's like, thank you, Claire, truly. And then we can see, she can see Leary like standing in the window, kind of like not in the window, standing in the doorway, peering in, and then Claire sees her and she's like hiding. So Claire's like, I think someone wants to come say hi to you, like come talk to you, or maybe thank you for getting your ass whooped on her behalf. And he and Jamie kind of looks and goes, okay. And so they say goodbye to each other, and then she leaves, and you can see Leary still lurking, and Jamie kind of like stands to like face her and talk to her, and then it cuts away. And then it's the next morning, and Claire is like on her way out of the castle. Mrs. Fitz is with her. She's packed her some food and like this and that to carry with her on the journey, and you can tell like they formed a bond, and she's giving, you know, Mrs. Fitz is giving her like a hug goodbye, and it's like, you know, be safe, Claire.
I don't think she's going to be good at that. She's great at being safe, traveling safe, not her forte.
Not her thing. And then Claire turns and Dougal's standing right there. And she's like, basically he's like, Colin wants to see you. And she's like, why? And he's like, it doesn't matter why.
And I like him.
And so then she's taken through the corridors, and she's then brought into the room in the castle that Frank and her joked about the castle troll living in. That,
oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
So she's kind of like, oh my God, why am I being brought in there? Like, what's happening? So they go in, and she goes in, and Colum's in there, and you can see there's like lots of like medical herbs and substances like all over the place. And at this portion, Colum is there and is like, you know, you've gotten quite a reputation as like a healer kind of deal. And he's like, are you connected to the Beaton clan? And she's like, I don't think so. And he's like, they're known as like healers. And he's like, Davy Beaton was a healer, was our last healer here. Mm. And unfortunately he died and we haven't had a healer since.
Oh, is he going to keep her?
Da, 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 da. What do we think?
I feel like he's going to, is he about to like shut the door and like lock her in there?
Well, he does
say, you're mine now.
Well, and she, and Claire might bless her. She's like, and so, you know, he's like, these are all his things that he left behind. And she's looking, she's like, oh, it's, bless Claire. She's like, oh, so very interesting. Thank you. Thank you for showing me. But I've got to go now. And he goes, she's like trying to peace out and he's like not having it. He's like, well, you know, you're going to stay here and take the place of the healer here. And she's like, but I have to go. And he basically is like, I know you have secrets and maybe they're just the kind that any woman has that know, that pose no threat to me or to my clan or anybody here. But until I'm sure, you're staying here as my guest. And she's like, you mean as your prisoner? And then he goes, only if you try to leave.
Ooh.
So damn. So he's basically like, I'm not going to lock you in chains in a dungeon or nothing like that. You're going to stay here and you're going to work, be the healer, but you're not going. I don't trust you. I don't.
Why did he say at the originally that she was allowed to go then?
Because he's playing the game.
See.
Like, do you think if he, like, because if he had thrown the cards down there right then and there, she might have just tried to book it. And so he's right. He's like trying to figure out who this woman is. Like, is she a spy for the English? Like, they kind of really think she's an English spy. Like, they don't trust her at all.
Okay.
And then if I let her go, is she now gonna like spill secrets to the British if we now let her go?
But so, like, what? She doesn't know anything.
They don't know that. Like, who, you know, who knows? But basically Claire, and then it ends with Claire like being like upset. She's like, damn it, like I'm stuck here. And then the episode ends. So that's how the episode ends. Oh damn. See.
So really, I mean, she's just still kit prisoner. She was prisoner when we started and she's just prisoner now, just of a different person.
But she's as a guest.
I don't think it's very guestly. It feels more prisony.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
What if she just like is a bad healer? Will they let her go? She just starts killing people?
Maybe, maybe. Do we feel like that's in Claire's nature though?
No, she sounds like a goody two-shoes.
Well, and she sounds like a woman who takes her work seriously.
Yeah, that's true.
Seems like human life is important to her. Not a bad trait.
No, that's redeemable, admirable. We can accept that.
So right, how do you
in the castle?
So she's she's there. And we'll see what happens next. how did you feel? Obviously you haven't seen the episode, so we can't go by like favorite part, least favorite part, favorite performance.
What's your favorite part?
Oh, I don't know. It's so hard because it's like I've seen it so many times. And like when I watched it the very first time, I was like, okay, on to the next right. episode.
Really, I really like take it in.
Obviously I was so intrigued by the dynamic of Jamie and Claire because I wasn't aware that they were such a slow burn. Like because, you know, I've watched YouTube clips and all that kind of stuff before I actually started the series.
Right.
So I didn't really know their story of how they got they come together. Cause like at this point they're still very much not strangers, but like they're becoming friendly. You can tell that there is something there between them, like they're drawn to each other. but like I said, like this show working was so dependent on them casting those two roles like properly. Right. And obviously they like knocked it out of the park because like Sam and Kat are like their chemistry is like nuts. they're so good. Like the whole show hinges on that, right? Yeah. Like making it work. And so I love that. I love the details of that and just like trying to figure out the political game going on here is kind of interesting. And like the production design is really cool too. Like the sets are like really awesome. Mm-hmm. Like you would convince me that like that's all real, and then you watch like behind the scenes stuff and they're like, yeah, like the Great Hall is made out of like plywood and this and that, and you're like you're like, damn, like really? But for you, and I also do like the costumes are really interesting too, and it's just like, man, it was so much work to get dressed.
Yeah, that's true. All the layers,
it's so much. And like the tartans, the kilts are so cool. Cause it's like all the men are wearing them and they're like the full plaid usually with like the, a lot of times, like, because they can dress it up where it like goes over the shoulder, like the
oh yeah, right,
because it's so, it's like huge. But yeah, but for you, because this is going to be really long, so we'll end shortly, but for you, how are you, what are thoughts about this episode, likes, dislikes, how you feeling about
the journey? I like where the witch going? I like the witch.
Galus.
Yep. I despise nearly every male so far that we've encountered.
Fair enough.
They're not great.
Are there any males that you're like, okay, you're not so bad, you're a man of your time, but like...
Okay, well, Murta hasn't done anything, really.
True, true. Murta has not done anything wrong just yet.
And okay, Jamie, like, took the whipping. That was chivalrous. It's gentlemanly.
Just getting his ass beat.
Yeah. I don't like that father.
Fair. I don't think I like him either.
No, not a fan. I don't like the brothers. Don't like that they imprisoned her. I like Miss Fitz. She seems cool.
Love Miss Fitz. Mrs. Fitz. Love Mrs. her. Fitz.
I don't like the son. Call him son. He sounds like an arrogant little.
Oh, Hamish. Maybe that's just how I described him. He really is. I don't know. He literally says like two lines.
Oh, okay. But
Oh man, that I can't watch that scene, makes me cringe so hard. Oh. Where do we think we're going? What do we think is happening next?
Well, so my predictions from the last episode were off. That didn't happen.
Although one thing that you were correct in is that you said that they needed to continue to develop Randall as like this really bad guy.
Okay, so, yeah, and that did happen. So we the whole story of Jamie.
Yeah. So you're like, okay, yeah, no, there's a, like, this dude's pretty not cool. And there's a reason why Jamie has a personal history with him and it's not good.
Right. Okay. I'm curious where the sister is. I'm concerned about her.
Oh, Jenny.
Yeah. And what do I think is going to happen? Well, I think now we need to just like, she needs to become more entwined, because while she's a prisoner, I mean, that can't stay. She's got to like get entwined in their life. And I think Dougal's going to always hate her and like try to undercut her. But I think Colm is like going to end up trusting her. So that's got to like, something has to happen in the next episode where she becomes like, proves her worth and her like trustworthiness to him. Cause you need to have the brothers. I think they need to be like on opposite ends.
Mm. Okay. Interesting.
And probably Jamie's going to get hurt again. That might be just my prediction from now on. Just somehow he gets wounded in every episode.
Oh, poor Jamie. Poor dude. Okay. Fair enough. Interesting. Yeah. And it's going to be so much fun when you're able to kind of like watch these and like actually, or rewatch, because you watched them forever ago. I'm really excited for us to get to the seasons you absolutely haven't watched at all. That'll be fun. It'll be fun how I'm just forcing you to watch this show. But yeah. Okay. So this is...
I'm in duress and I need help.
Okay. So I guess maybe we should wrap this up. This is very long. I'm going to try to get better at being like quicker and more succinct with me going through the episodes and stuff. But yeah, I definitely enjoyed this episode. It's still like world building. We're still kind of...
Yeah, you're still only second episode.
Yeah, you're kind of figuring out the time and place. We get some new characters. We're learning a little bit more.
Some backstory.
Yeah, you're finding out a little bit more about Jamie and kind of his backstory a bit and trying to like understand the dynamics and the politics of this world. And I like that there's already some relationship building between the characters, because that's also what makes things interesting, is not just characters, but like characters interacting with other characters, right?
Mm-hmm. Now, is it cheating that she's like, is she cheating on Frank? Is this emotional cheating?
I mean, is it if he is technically doesn't exist yet?
Not even not alive, just not existing.
He's not in existence. It's like 200 years in the past. I mean, like, valid question. I mean,
should she be faithful because she's trying to get back to her time?
Well, and at this point, Claire's still very much, Frank is still like on her mind. Like she still wants to figure out to get, right? She wants to get back to him. But the way they're setting it up, you can definitely see that she has a fondness for Jamie.
Right.
She seems to be, you know, she seems to, she feels, I think she can trust him a bit. And, you know, and he has like, he is like shared some stuff with her that could really do him in. Right. So, you know, there's kind of that mutual trust that's starting to happen between them, and right. they clearly have a fondness for each other. And it's, oh yeah, is it, I mean, and it's like, he's chivalrous and, not, doesn't hurt to look at. And,
you know, he's eye candy,
you know, but in, you know, and his character will continue to evolve in terms of like his sense of honor and, you know, doing what's right and all that kind of stuff. So, but it's interesting. Yeah. This episode, there's still a lot of world building and, you know, and getting, and I like, ugh, I love it too, because it's just like, there's so much Scotland in this season and I love it. Mm. Like, it's just so awesome to be able to see that. But for real, let's wrap this up, because I swear we're probably at like an hour and 40 minutes. So, lulz. So yeah, if again, if you are listening to this, if you're one of two people maybe listening, thank you.
Yes, thank you very much.
And
we appreciate it.
Hopefully, if you're interested, follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Just our handles are She's an Outlander, all together.
No dots.
No dots, no anything. And yeah, follow us, tweet us, interact with us. Let us know what you're enjoying about the show. Let us know if you want to hear us talk about, add something in, talk about more, that kind of stuff. And yeah, just, you know, hopefully this can grow. But I mean, we're really just, this is really just
fun.
We're doing it for fun, even if there's one person that listens.
even if just for ourselves, it's fun to...
Yeah. Well, and it's really, honestly, it's just my master plan to like make Brittany listen to this show.
This is just a ploy. This whole thing is a ploy to make me watch this show.
And then make her watch it. Also, if anybody's also listening to this randomly, both Sam and Kat are nominated for Gold Derby TV Awards. So go to goldderby.com, create an account, go into their lobby and click on Gold Derby TV Awards and vote for them in the drama actor and actress category, because the Emmys might want to shaft them, but we still love them. Anyway, that's my little pitch to the one person listening to this. Okay, well, we'll see you next week. Thank you so much for listening, and bye. Yeah.
Thank you guys. Bye. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll see you next time. Hear you, listen to us, talk to you, I don't know.
See you next time. Okay, bye.